Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life is songs of grief with the yellow fear and fearless eyes.
Welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer dude and a judge.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
I'm coming live from the, recorded from the Meadows Cardboard Box Studio.
Yes, you look like a homeless podcaster.
In an attempt to get better audio quality and reduce any kind of echo, I have constructed a cardboard podcasting box around me.
Well, hopefully that will cut down on it. I noticed it when we're recording. I haven't heard any complaints from anybody, but hopefully that'll help some. You just need to get some foam and put around it next.
Well, Kyle actually just got a bunch of foam from a house somebody was buying to flip the house, and evidently one of the rooms was a recording studio. And it was an entire room that was covered, the walls and the ceiling were covered in foam.
Yeah?
Yeah, it had all these different shapes and angles and things like that to reduce echoes and good quality. So he bought a house not too long ago, and he's actually turning the smallest bedroom into a recording studio.
Well, that's a good thing. I suggested you could go in the closet and try it in there and just shut the door in the closet, and that might work.
Yeah.
But you remember Justin bought those things when we were used to be recording at his house, and he bought those panels that we put up and around that buffered the sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I'm this is not a permanent recording studio area, I don't think. So it's just kind of a temporary thing for the time being with the current pandemic going on.
Yeah, when the air conditioner blows, it may knock your whole contraption over.
That's true.
If you turned on the fan in there on the room, you'd be out of luck.
Yeah, I'm a little worried whenever I say legal briefs that some of the briefs is going to knock it over.
That's right. It wouldn't take much. Cardboard Mike, he'll do your lawyering.
Well, in our brief talk before we started this episode, you said you had an update, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, I noticed that this concerns the NRA episode that we had, a couple of weeks ago. The National Rifle Association's former second-in-command is breaking with the group's orthodoxy and calling for universal background checks and so-called red flag laws in a new book assailing the organization as more focused on money and internal intrigue than the Second Amendment. While thwarting constructive dialogue on gun violence, which is exactly what we were saying, that they should be advocating for reasonable laws so that you don't have a bunch of people saying, well, the heck with it. They won't be reasonable. Let's just take all the guns.
Yeah, that's an interesting argument.
That was Joshua L. Powell. We mentioned him a couple of times when we were talking about it, and he was fired from the NRA in January. And so I guess he did like all the people leaving Trump's administration, he wrote a book. So this is some of the stuff coming out in his book.
It's a tell-all from behind the scenes.
Of the NRA.
Everyone loves a good tell-all book.
He takes aim at the NRA.
Ooh,
get it?
Is that the name of the book?
No, I just thought that up.
Wow, you should be
a book titler?
A book titler.
Do they have is that a job, a book titler? I want a job as a book titler. I'll go to some publishing company. I don't even read enough books to know what the names of the publishing companies are.
you could be a book binder, the person that binds all the books together. Is that a job still?
Yeah, I'm sure that there. I think computers do that, or
computers
or machines or something. I don't know. They're all e-books. You don't have to bind anything. It is one of the advents. I think that's made a strain on publishers because you can publish your own damn book. You don't need a publisher to do it.
That is true.
You know, there's online sites. You can go and put your book in and do it. Now, nobody may ever see it or read it, but you can put it there. And I don't know how you monetize it, but I guess there's ways to do it.
Well, I think that's one of the things that publishing companies do is they didn't tend to advertise you and put you out there a bit more.
Yeah, probably so. But there's also a lot more cost in it because actually having paper and cardboard and printing on it is an expensive process. And then there's distribution.
Can't forget about distribution.
Got to have distribution. Without distribution, you just got a warehouse full of books.
What part of a book is made of cardboard?
Well, either the cover on a paperback or else the inside part of the front and the back on a hardback. That's just like cardboard, isn't it? Isn't it?
Have you ever felt a book?
Yeah. Isn't that just thick? That's just thick cardboard with some kind of material over it or something.
I don't know. When I think of cardboard, I think of a box. I don't think of like a book cover being cardboard.
A box? What do you think that is inside there on a cover? Graphite?
I don't really know. I never thought about it.
Well, think about it. It's got to be a cardboard. It's just, you know, cardboard's just thick paper. They just shaved the tree a little thicker.
I'm going to Google cardboard on the internet, and it's going to say, it's just real thick paper.
How else would you define cardboard?
I don't know. I've never thought about that. That should be a good question of for legal briefs. What is cardboard?
Thick paper.
Well, this episode is not about the semantics of cardboard.
Thank God. That's all I know. You just exhausted my range of knowledge.
We had a suggestion from Matt Kesselring about insurance in particular and why insurers are able to charge different rates for men and women for insurance.
He wants to know why us guys are getting discriminated against and getting the short end of the stick. So
it's a well-known fact that insurance is more for men, right?
Right. Well, especially when you start out, at 16-year-old male is much more expensive to insure than a 16-year-old female.
Yep. We have three boys on our insurance and they're all under the age of 21. I can tell you what, it's expensive.
Well, and it's not even 21. I think it's 25 before the rate starts coming back down for males to females.
Same thing with rental cars too, I think.
Yeah, they figure you're wild as a buck between 16 and 25, and so that's why they just figure you just drive around like the what were those guys that drove around the Dukes of Hazzard? They figure we all are like that between 18 and 25.
Like Bo and Luke Duke?
Yeah. Bo and Luke Duke, was that their name? I never watched that show.
Oh, it's a great show.
I know that all of Charles and Christian and Joseph and all of them, they all loved that show. They talked about it all the time when they were kids.
Oh, yeah. How could you not love that show? It was great.
Yeah.
Now, according to one article I read, a male teen costs $7,400 to insure on average compared to $6,900 for a female teen. So there was some truth to that as far as for teenagers. But when I was doing a little bit of research about this, about some rates and whatnot, I was actually kind of surprised to find out that women on average end up paying a bit more later on.
Yeah, they said that women 40 and over.
Yeah. So you aren't allowed to discriminate against people generally or treat them differently based upon certain immutable characteristics like age, sex, or gender, or things like that. Well, I guess sex and gender are the same thing, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, so why can insurance companies do it? That's a good question.
Yeah. And that's what Matt wanted to know.
Yeah.
He said, can they do this? How can they do that? How is discrimination legal? And what is the answer? And please, Mike, tell me.
You know, the answer is, I don't really know. So I had to research it a little bit.
Yeah. I helped you with that.
You did.
I knew it was a thing having a teenage daughter. I knew it was a thing. Several teenage daughters went through it. And I was glad I had daughters and not sons because I would have had to pay more for sons. I couldn't afford a son.
Modern federal civil rights legislation prohibits race and gender discrimination in all sectors of the American economy, which includes employment, education, public accommodations, housing, credit, things like that. But there is no comparable comprehensive federal civil rights legislation which bans race and gender discrimination in the business of insurance.
Hmm.
So it's kind of odd.
Well, I always felt that the insurance companies hid behind statistics, that they could show statistics that 18 to 25-year-old males were involved in more wrecks and more speeding and DUIs and things like that than comparable-aged females.
So one way that the insurance company kind of looks at this is that they talk about it as kind of group fairness versus individual fairness. So when you're looking at civil rights, you're talking about individual fairness, but when you're talking about insurance, then you're talking about grouping and different groups of policyholders. And these different policyholders have different patterns of mortality and morbidity in age groups classified by gender. So you have different groups of men and women who are reflected in the different pricing of the products that they have. So we're not talking about actual individuals. What you're talking about are groups of individuals.
Yeah, but they're grouped by their gender, which it doesn't seem exactly fair to be able to do that.
Yeah. One of the, there's a quote here. It says, perhaps the strongest explanation for insurance law's apparent reluctance to regulate insurance classifications in a more egalitarian manner is that doing so could create more adverse selection and cross-subsidization than people would find acceptable. So if you actually do apply it universally like that, it could actually end up hurting more people than it would help. So that's their one argument there.
Well, I can understand that because you know the way insurance companies are going to do business. If somebody came along and said, you can't discriminate between male and females, they both have to get the same rate, then guess what? The females are just going to get the higher rate that the males pay. They're not going to bring the males down to the females.
Yeah, they're going to charge more for everybody.
Yeah. Then we all lose. Now, there are some states, though, and I'm sure you have this, that have banned making differences between the genders.
Yeah, there are. But the history of why the grouping system came up was kind of interesting to me. So in 19th century cooperative insurance, there were different fraternal organizations, as well as the federal government's pension system, which had these different risk pools. And so you had these fraternal insurance groups that the insurance was based on those groups. And as those groups were declining and commercial insurance grew, they tended to keep those kind of fraternal groups in place. So that's kind of one of the ways that there's almost like a history of insurance companies doing this, which led to this. And so the risk pool is one of the forms of risk management that insurance companies use. And so insurance companies come together to form a pool which can provide protection to insurance companies against catastrophic risks such as floods or earthquakes. And they also pool similar risks that underlies the concept of insurance. It's basically like where there's more than one insurance company coming together to form one. While risk pooling is necessary for insurance companies to work, not all risk can be effectively pooled in a voluntary insurance bracket unless there is a subsidy available to encourage participation. So by grouping, what they're trying to do is they're trying to reclassify and limit their exposure for risk based on the pooling. Mm-hmm. But as you said, some states are not allowing that.
Yeah, I think California was the most recent one to enact that. And they joined six other states in banning using gender to set insurance prices.
And that is, which states is it?
Let's see, in addition to California, there is Hawaii, Massachusetts, Montana, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and parts of Michigan. I don't understand that, why it's parts of Michigan, where insurers can't use gender as a factor.
So essentially what it comes down to, there's no federal law which prohibits the insurance companies from basing their insurance rates on the gender or race or anything along those lines. So it's up to the individual states to come up with their own kind of laws and classifications for that to keep it from happening. Now, there's a lot of interesting things about different states and a lot of variables about the different amounts of insurance that people pay between men and women. And I think there's some really kind of interesting data, which we found out about. But before that, I think there's a couple motions pending before the court today.
Well, yes, if it pleases your insurance ship, we would like to approach the bench to pay court costs.
All right. Well, who's on the docket?
On the docket with us today is BetterHelp. That's H-E-L-P.
Is there something interfering with your happiness, or is it preventing you from achieving your goals?
COVID-19. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online.
There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. And this service is available for clients worldwide.
And the cool thing is, you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy.
That's right. They're even more uncomfortable now because all those old magazines get thrown out, so nobody wants to touch them.
That's right. You got to wear your mask and wait out in your car until you can come in and everything else. So avoid all that. Do it from home. Everybody's set up to work from home anyway. Get yourself help from home.
And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today.
You can visit their website and read testimonials that are posted daily.
Visit BetterHelp.com/court. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
So if you're a counselor looking for a job, you know where to call. So, a special offer for court-appointed listeners is you get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/court.
That's BetterHelp.com/court.
Mike and Tom want you to get the help you need today.
All right.
Now, we have one more for you. Yes.
In the docket today, huh?
Somebody else. Yes, it's a crowded docket today. We got to make room. We got to keep them moving, Judge. Keep them moving.
All right. Who's next up?
Our good friends at Care Of.
You might ask yourself, what is Care Of? Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you long term.
It's hassle-free vitamins and supplements delivered to you. Care Of can make taking your vitamins and supporting your health goals attainable.
Care Of's new line, Skin Plus and Hair Collection, helps you work on your beauty goals from all angles with a combination of targeted ingredients for hair, skin, and nails.
Your recommendations come in daily, individually wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into a routine.
Care Of is super transparent about the research and sourcing behind every one of their products, with extensive info available on their website and fun, informative content on their social pages.
Care Of's products are formulated with good-for-you, clean ingredients that are backed by science.
And there's an online quiz which makes finding what you need very easy. There's an in-depth 5-minute online quiz which asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help you address your specific wellness goals.
We've both taken that quiz and found it quite intriguing, easy to take, and then we got our personalized vitamin pack sent directly to us with our name on it and everything.
That's right. You can follow their expect recommendation or adjust your pack at any time. What you receive is totally up to you.
So right now, you can receive 50% off your first Care Of order if you go to takecareof.com and enter the code COURT50.
So that's 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter the code COURT50.
So take care of your vitamin needs.
So the interesting thing when you're looking at the data about who actually pays more for insurance, in 43 states, including DC, women are charged more for their car insurance than men. In 5 states, men are charged more. And in 3 states, they're equal. Gender is pretty much the only difference. And some of these differences are pretty drastic when you look at them. Men currently pay more for insurance in Alabama, Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, and Montana. And there are 6 states where women pay more, where they pay 21 to 51% more for their car insurance. And those states are Arkansas, Delaware, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, and West Virginia.
So, oh, no. The women folk here are getting cheated.
They are. That's a pretty big discrepancy right there. Now, I mean, if it was 1% on either side, I mean, you could just chalk that up to just different variables. But when it's that high off, like in Minnesota, for example, it's 50.7% more for women than men.
Well, this one that I found of research, it said that the price of basic liability insurance from 6 insurers in 10 cities also found widespread inconsistencies. For example, Allstate quoted higher rates for 40-year-old women in Baltimore and higher rates for their male counterparts in Tampa, Florida. For 20-year-olds in Cleveland, Farmers Insurance showed higher quotes for men, while Geico had higher quotes for women. A 2019 NerdWallet analysis found similar patterns for full coverage policies, which provide broader protection. It examined average annual rates among the largest insurers in 20 zip codes of each state for a 2015 Toyota Camry for single 40-year-old drivers with clean records and good credit. 7 of the country's 10 largest car insurance companies showed higher average rates for women in some states and higher rates for men in other states. But gender-based price differences were dwarfed by overall price differences among comparisons. So a woman might save hundreds of dollars a year with the cheapest insurer in her area, even if that insurer would charge her male counterpart less. An example from NerdWallet's analysis underscores the importance of shopping for insurance. Here are two companies' average annual rates for drivers in Minnesota. American Family Insurance, $921 for women, $917 for men. Allstate, $1,859 for women and $1,881 for men. So they were like twice for the exact same coverage.
Yeah, and if you juxtapose that against the statistic I read, that doesn't really fall in line with women paying 50% more in Minnesota. So
right.
It seems like really there's no way to really figure out where insurance companies are coming up with these numbers. I think it's almost like they're just pulling random numbers from a hat and saying, oh, here's what the insurance is going to be.
Well, that's what they say. It said it isn't fair. It says it's no more fair to base auto insurance rates on gender than it is on race or hair color. Said the Insurers Information Institute contends it's unfair for safe drivers to pay as much as risky ones. So if you get grouped in, you know, they're going to work on averages. So what they're saying is half of the people in your group are being safer. Some are in the middle and others are being riskier, but you're all paying the same rate to pay for those high risk guys.
Now, the things that insurance should be contingent upon are things like traffic tickets, DUIs, and things that can make it, you know, harder, more expensive to find insurance.
Right.
Some states, whenever you have a traffic ticket or DUI, they'll allow like a no contest plea, which is not an admission of guilt and therefore it doesn't get reported to the DMV or the insurance companies. And other states may reduce speeds because if the speed's under a certain amount over, that's still a ticket, but there's not any points assessed. If there's no points assessed, then it doesn't get reported to your insurance company. So those are things that insurance companies should take into account whenever they are trying to evaluate an actual insurer, possible insurer, to see what their rate should be. And additionally, insurance companies are dinging drivers for dangerous behaviors such as distracted driving. So if there's a ticket for distracted driving, that can bump insurance premiums up by $289 or about 20% in 2018, compared with only a nearly 2% increase 3 years earlier. So that's 10 times more. And it's still less than a speeding ticket for going 10 miles per hour over the limit, which bumped it up $880, and way less than being arrested for a DUI, which can raise premiums by more than $1,000 on average. The analysis suggests that insurers are responding to increasing evidence that smartphones and elaborate entertainment systems cause distractions and could be having an impact on rising traffic crashes and fatalities. There's also some evidence which shows that car insurance premiums have started to rise in states that have legalized marijuana. So there's some evidence that insurance companies are charging more where you can legally get high because they're concerned that these...
You're going to lead to more DUIs.
DUIs, yeah.
Well, here's three things that you can do to help yourself out if you think you're being treated unfairly. First, compare quotes. Because pricing varies widely, get quotes from multiple companies to ensure you find your best deal. Secondly, request a price match. Presented with a competitor's quote, your insurer may offer a lower rate. And third, be willing to change companies. Your current discounts may not beat the prices you could find elsewhere. And, you know, you find that with a lot of things. You know, some people, you start off, well, you go get the same insurance your parents got. Because your parents are the ones that advise you, you know, the first time you ever need insurance. Well, Dad, what should I do? Well, this is who we deal with. Go talk to old Joe down there. He's done my insurance. Well, you go talk to old Joe. Well, now old Joe's been bought out by some big conglomerate. They don't care about you anymore. So you just keep paying these rates thinking, well, Dad wouldn't have steered me wrong. But it's like a lot of things, you know. If you don't go shop around, you're not going to know. And there's a lot of places when you switch to them, you get a lower rate. Your own company is offering other people lower rates. But as long as you're willing to keep paying that higher rate and not say anything, they'll let you keep paying it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Why would they want you to stop?
Yeah, so they let you keep paying it. So you really need to keep shopping around if you're not satisfied with your insurance rate or you think you could do better. Go get a bunch of quotes, and you don't have to remain faithful to them. If they're not being faithful to you, find somewhere else, and if you can save money, move your insurance there. It's not a big deal.
Some of the other things that states have started to look at kind of critically is banning the use of educational status or marital status or even credit scores to evaluate what your insurance premium should be. Insurance companies feel that credit scores help them gauge the likelihood of whether a person will file an insurance claim, but consumer advocates say they unfairly push up people's rates.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hate that they go by credit rates. Not, I have a decent credit rate, but I just think it's wrong.
Yeah. And other things like marital status, credit scores. I mean, they're trying to use anything they can and try to make an educated guess about what people are doing and what their likelihood is to file a claim. They'll even go as far as look at social media and technology and try to monitor people's driving habits from that.
Well, now that's another way that they said that they are developing ways. Now, this is kind of big brother-like, so it depends on what you're willing to give up. But they are, you know, these devices, you've seen them advertised on TV, that they put this device in your car and then you get money. Don't mess with my discount.
Yeah.
You know, that commercial, well, you've got a device in your car and they're monitoring it. So then based on your particular driving, they will adjust your rate up or down based on your particular driving. And what the insurance company would like to do is put one of those in everybody's cars.
Absolutely.
Then you'd get an individual one.
These tools are called telematics, and they allow them to tailor the different insurance policies to customers. And that's based on how many miles they drive, how fast they accelerate, how fast they stop, different things like that. And that's one of the ways they can do it, which, you know, I think that's probably a fairly good way to do it. And you probably get the most accurate rating based on that. But you know what? I don't care. I don't want that in my car. I'd rather pay more.
I was just going to say the same thing. I believe that's probably the fairest way to do it, but that's very Big Brother-esque, looking over your shoulder. And who wants to give up, you know, that kind of freedom and let them look into what's going on there?
Yeah. Going back real quick to the social media thing, they actually look at people, how much you're online, like which different social media platforms you use, what type of email you use, like whether you use a Hotmail or a Gmail or if you have like an old AOL account. And they even check on your posts you might put on social media to see if you have typos or misspellings to try to,
determine how smart you are.
I guess, yeah.
Is that what they think? I think so. The other thing about credit ratings that bothers me is I think that unjustly targets those that are financially disadvantaged. You know, you're not going to have a very good credit rating if you're struggling to make your rent payment and pay your electricity and stuff like that. That's not your fault. And if you're struggling to do those things, now we're going to ding you on top of that by making your insurance go up. So possibly you can't afford insurance and can't drive and you lose your job that you have.
Yeah.
You know, that's just inversely wrong to do that.
So one interesting article I read, it talked about in 2018, a transgender woman in Michigan experienced a $1,000 car insurance rate increase after her sex changed from male to female. And she had thought that she was the victim of discrimination against transgender people. So she filed a claim, and she learned that actually all women in Michigan are subject to higher car insurance premiums. It had nothing to do with her status as transgender. So how's that for?
So she was being discriminated against for being a woman, not for being a transgender woman.
Exactly. So, but that, you know, that makes it okay, I guess. It's crazy.
Well, it said parts of Michigan in that one, so I'm not sure. That she must have been in a part that didn't qualify.
Yeah. There's some states that have non-binary gender options for policies: California, Washington, D.C., and Oregon. So that is where you don't even have to say what your sex is, and they're not even, I guess, allowed to even ask what it is. It's just like, hey, I need insurance. Here's my name. So.
Well, I remember the first time I had to fill out an application and it had sex on there, and I just put yes.
All right, Austin Powers. I actually just watched that less than a week ago. It was on TV, and I sat there and watched it, and I laughed quite a bit. I hadn't seen it in so long. Mike Myers is a gem.
Yeah, he's something. You don't see him so much anymore.
Yeah. Not really been to a lot of stuff lately.
Now, if you wanted to take a peek into what life would be like if you really did, actually in the EU, they did come out with a gender equality ruling. In December of 2012, they introduced a controversial new rule insisting that car insurance companies no longer discriminate on the basis of gender. So prior to before that law took effect, they said on average that men would pay £27 more for a car insurance policy than a woman. But rather remarkably, now they pay £101 more, nearly a four times increase. These figures are based on an analysis by Confused.com, which collects 4 million quotes every quarter from British drivers looking to arrange their insurance, so one assumes they must be right. Said, so is this a case of the EU ruling spectacularly backfiring, of well-meaning but deluded gender warriors in Brussels interfering in places they shouldn't and then shooting themselves in the foot? It's just equality gone mad, and was the sort of comment that greeted this ruling when it was introduced. So what's going on here? First, it's doubtful that the insurance companies are simply ignoring the EU ruling and breaking the law. It's pretty simple for people to test this by changing their name from Patrick to Patricia on an internet quote engine and seeing if they get better results. And they didn't. What appears to be at work is that car insurance companies set a price very much according to all the other data they can find on you without actually asking your gender. So the quote you get back reflects the risk attached to your occupation, how much you drive, the sort of car you drive, and whether you have made any modifications to that car. Said that they asked Confused.com to explain the worsening premiums for men despite gender. It said, the continuing disparity between men and women could be linked to the fact that certain male-dominated occupations may have poor claims experience. On average, men may tend to drive larger and more costly vehicles. The more expensive high-spec the vehicle, the more likely it is that the cost of repairs will be higher, and therefore it's reflected in the premium. Then there's also one that they look at your job. There was a separate report from MoneySupermarket.com earlier in the week which revealed the occupations with the worst rates of drinking or drugging and driving. 8 out of 10 of the worst are in the building trade, with scaffolders, I didn't know they broke them down like that, on average they have to pay an extra £470 for car insurance following a conviction.
Yeah, well,
scaffolders are the worst, they said.
Yeah, well, scaffolders, yeah, they do break it down like that, but they also put them back up like that too. The scaffolds, that is.
It said that women tend to drive fewer miles, have fewer accidents, and the accidents they do have are less serious, and they have fewer convictions for drunk driving. So it said that the confusion is, before insurers bluntly charged you a bit more if you were male, a bit less, now they have to piece it together according to what you're doing. You know, for example, if you're a builder and they rank those, they're probably going to figure you're a male. If you're a midwife, they're probably going to figure you're a female, and midwives may get better rates than scaffolders. So that's the explanation for why in the EU, even though they did away with that, men are worse off because they started looking at other things that they tied them to and moved the rates up.
Yeah, I think the best way to figure out what insurance rates should be would be based on your driving record. That's what it should be looked at. I think if you don't have anything on your record, It should be the same for everybody. You know, now somebody starting out that doesn't really have much of a driving record and they're younger, statistically, I think they're more inclined to possibly have an accident and they don't have the record to support that they are a safe driver. I think you could probably justify increasing younger person's rates a bit higher. But once you get past that, if a person has a clean driving history, I don't think you should be able to say you should pay more because you're a builder or scaffolder and other people in your profession seem to, you know, have more accidents or claims. It doesn't seem right to me.
No, but that's what their risk assessment that they hide behind, that they use for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really for it. You know, I think we need to have stronger insurance regulations where they can't discriminate against people based on these things.
But here's the thing. All you're going to do is raise all the insurance rates because they're not going to come down. They're not going to say, well, all right, we'll put everybody at whatever the lowest rate is. They're going to say, all right, fine. We'll make everybody pay extra.
Well,
that's the way insurance people do. You know how those insurance people are.
Well, that's fine. If they do that, they can do that. And then the government will have to come in and say, nope, this is what it's maxed out as. This is the maximum insurance rate you can charge.
Well, that's why the way to prevent that is shopping around. Because there are insurance companies that want your business. And, you know, as long as they're legitimate, you can always research them and make sure they're legitimate if you hadn't heard of them or whatever. But there is somebody out there that will give you a better rate. So just shop around.
And I was watching a documentary that just released on HBO, and it was about, we've talked about it before, Action Park.
I didn't know we've talked about it. I saw that too.
Yeah,
I laughed my butt off. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the guy who opened up Action Park, they said he had to have insurance. And so he didn't think he should. So he set up his own fraudulent insurance company that was set up on a Caribbean island.
In the Caymans, yeah.
Yeah, the Caymans. And that was his insurance. It was basically a fraudulent insurance company made up for himself. It was called like some very prestigious.
Lord Winthrop's and British Columbia's or something like that. It had all these fancy names.
I think it was pretty close. But yeah, so he made his own insurance company up and said, yeah, there's my insurer.
And then what they did is they never settled a claim. They took every one. They would make you go to court and they would delay it and drag it out so that you knew you were really going to suffer through doing this. And then they went all the way to the end. Then if they finally got a ruling against them, then they just wouldn't pay.
Yeah.
And so they would have to get to the point where you would have to get them to send the U.S. Marshals to the place to get the money from him was the only way he'd ever pay him. And they said he ended up successful out of like 100 lawsuits. He won 93 of them or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure none of that had to do with like how good his lawyer was.
Well, I think he must've had a pretty good lawyer.
Probably so.
But that whole thing, it's called Class Action Park, and it's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And it is the first half of it is hilarious. Now, after that, it gets a little sober because people died there.
Yeah, it does get sad.
So they do have the good sense in this of pacing with the funny stuff up front. And then as they get towards more serious stuff, you know, you're not laughing anymore.
No, you definitely, it sobers you up because you're kind of like, wow, this is kind of bad. But the first half of it is absolutely hysterical. And I think the pacing of it, they wrote it perfectly as far as the people they interviewed, the animations, the clips.
I never even heard of this place. And this was through the 80s and the 90s when it was there. And that was up around New York area, New Jersey and New York. So I'm sure if you're from that area, you know, you've heard stories all about it. But I can truthfully say I've never heard of the place in my life.
Well, we talked about it before, I think on a prior episode.
Oh, okay.
We only talked about it in passing. But
well, I hadn't seen this thing, so I didn't have any idea what you're talking about. Now I understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. Maybe we should do an episode on Class Action Park.
Yeah, or just have everybody watch a documentary.
Yeah.
That's your homework, class.
Yeah, that's your homework. But, you know, unless people are really willing to let these different sensors come in their cars where they can evaluate their driving, get their insurance rates adjusted based on that, until people are willing to do that or stomach that, I don't think we're actually going to get a fair representation. And it's probably going to be based on your driving record. At least it should be at that point.
But the basic answer to Matt's question that he posed us was there is no federal law that keeps you from discriminating in insurance rates by gender.
Yeah. Now they can't just flat out say it's because well, you're a man, so we're charging you more. You're a woman, we're charging more. They have to have some sort of actuarial type documentation as to why they're doing it.
So, but, you know, statistics lie. You can make statistics say anything.
You can.
So, you know, that's not a problem.
You think they can make it, they can make the numbers say whatever they want to, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It just depends on how you look at them. Just turn them upside down. If the chart's going down and you want it to go up, just turn the chart over.
Yeah. Well, that's not a six. That's actually a nine.
Yeah. There you go.
That's not an eight. That's an eight. No, it's still an eight. Never mind.
That's not a one. That's a one.
So I think to sum it up, the whole notion that men pay more for insurance than women, which is what I had always heard, I think we can say it's probably false.
Well, I think it's at different groups. I think that it is probably true for the 18 to 25-year-olds, but once you get to about 40, it evens up. They start cheating the women then.
Yeah, I think most of the data that I saw in the research we've done is that once women turn 40, their insurance goes up higher than men's generally. So, you know, they're either going to get you going or they're going to get you coming, one way or the other.
Yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way it is with them revenuers.
Revenuers, huh?
Yeah. They're going to get you one way or another.
Just out here trying to live off the land.
That's right. And them revenuers come poking around. Better keep away from a Copperhead Road.
I was just about to say, you don't come near a Copperhead Road. Oh, I didn't get to tell you this. So some of the neighbor kids were walking on our road earlier this week, and they saw a snake and told their parents about it. And their parents came and looked at the snake, and it was actually a copperhead.
Ooh.
Yeah, so there was a copperhead snake that was on our road. And I told Stephanie that I wanted to petition our HOA to change our street name to Copperhead Road and see if they would go for that. But we haven't done it yet. We'll see.
Well, there's only two houses on your road, so they ought to do that.
Well, that is true.
Just that little extension where you are with you and the guy at the end right there. I know there's another private drive that goes up, but don't count him.
That's Copperhead Hill.
Is that where that is?
Yeah. We're Copperhead Road. The private drive's Copperhead Hill. So
then you can just have that song blaring out there the whole time.
That's true. Well, I do that anyway. So.
Oh, okay. That's how you're petitioning for it?
Yeah. And play this song till they give in. Well, I think that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where I ask Tommy different legal questions that we talked about. And we don't have a ton of legal questions today because we were kind of talking about studies and insurance and things like that. But there was a couple I snuck in here. Let's see if Tommy knows what they are.
Well, let's root for him.
Now, when somebody gets a traffic ticket, it can affect their insurance.
Right.
So what causes their insurance to go up?
The points put on their license.
That's right. Now, some states allow people to do something in particular with the way they plead their case.
Well, you can plead no contest and pay your fine, and then they don't put the points against you.
That's right. So that is actually something people can do, but it depends on the state. In Florida, for example, you can plead no contest and you can have no points assessed. In West Virginia, though, however, there even if you plead no contest, you still get the points assessed. So it's not a saving grace. But in West Virginia, if it is less than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, there's no points assessed for that. So there is the option of reducing the speed to kind of help a person out to reduce it so they don't get any points on their license. So,
come on, dude, help me out. Well, give me the ticket, but don't give me the points.
As a municipal judge dealing with a lot of traffic tickets, I've definitely heard my fair share of that.
Yeah. I just need a break. I won't ever do it again, I promise. That was the first time I've ever speeded in my whole life.
Yeah, that's when I know it's a lie when somebody says that.
I was asleep, and I just woke up, and I was driving that fast. It wasn't me.
I always ask people, I said, well, how many speeding tickets you had? And they tell me, I said, well, I don't think you've learned your lesson. I think you need to learn your lesson. And that's never a good sign. Now, as far as federal legislation or federal laws that might govern insurance companies basing on gender, race, and things like that, What do you think it would fall under?
The Civil Liberties Act.
Civil rights legislation.
Civil rights legislation, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, so civil rights legislation prohibits race, gender discrimination in lots of different sectors of the American economy, which includes employment, education, public accommodations, housing, and credit. But there is nothing that uses it that bans the use of it in insurance business. So there is that. There's no civil rights thing for that. Now, yeah. What are the six states that actually have banned using race and gender for insurance?
Well, there's seven because California made the seventh.
Ooh, look at you.
And there were six before that, but I don't think I recall all of them offhand. I remember Hawaii, and I remember parts of Michigan, and let's see. I don't recall right offhand.
Well, I will tell you.
Pennsylvania, I think.
This was an open book test, and I knew you had those notes right in front of you, so I figured this was a softball.
Oh, well, I was trying to reach for my notes where you couldn't see me, but I wasn't sure if I was allowed to do that or not. So I was trying to be stealthy about it, and I didn't think I was going to make it.
If I ask you about something you talked about, chances are I realize that you're probably going to look at it whenever you answer it.
Hawaii, Massachusetts, Montana, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and parts of Michigan, as well as now California.
That's right. What an amazing memory you have, Tommy. That's unbelievable.
Well, you didn't know. I should have asked you that one because you didn't know that.
That's what you call heading them off at the pass.
Boy, I'll say.
Before you got a chance to ask me that, I had to ask you.
I wish I had a head to pass off. What? Who?
I'm just as confused as you are.
That makes both of us.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for the legal briefs. I think you did pretty good there.
So I think thank you.
I think the key thing to think about this insurance situation is, like you said, you got to shop around and got to do your homework. It's not going to be easy for you, but you're going to find a rate that's going to help you out.
That's right. And wherever it's at, you can be in good hands. You don't have to be with the one that has that logo.
I thought you were going somewhere different with that. I thought you were going to say something about you don't have to love the one you're with or something.
Just, you know, you don't, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. No, you want to get away from the one you're with and be with the one you love their rate.
There you go. I knew there was a tie into that song somewhere. I just couldn't figure out what it was. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello, and welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's random thought is the Eagles. I was listening to my usual satellite radio station the other day, and an old Glenn Frey song came on. I had not heard it in a while, and while I was listening, I wasn't really paying close attention to it. And then my wife said, "I didn't realize that was by Glenn Frey." I then launched into my knowledge of the Eagles' history and then the solo careers of both Glenn Frey and Don Henley from after their Eagles days. Then the thought came to me, what a shame that Glenn Frey died, and now there isn't the chance that the Eagles could get back together again. As I continued to ponder the logistics of the what-if of an Eagles reunion, it occurred to me that they would all be in their 70s now. Wow, their 70s? You don't usually hope for a band of geriatrics to get together so they can create or recapture the music that you loved in your youth. I had every album the Eagles ever put out, and I had all of the solo albums that Glenn Frey and Don Henley ever put out. I even had some old Joe Walsh albums from before he was with the Eagles. I mean, these guys started out as the backup band for Linda Ronstadt. Became apparent after only a couple of outings, they needed to be their own band. They had a great career both as a group and solo, and now they are either dead or old. How did that happen? There is some feature in our brains that freezes people as they were when we last saw them or when they were significant in our lives. So I will picture them as they were on their album covers. So many teenage nights cruising around the back roads of West Virginia. I loved it when an Eagles song came on the radio. In those days, you didn't have a choice really of what to listen to. You just turned on the radio and hoped for the best. Then I started thinking about the guys in that band themselves. I hope they knew what a big influence and a significant part of so many lives because of their music. In my mind, Desperado is one of the top three best albums ever made. I know a lot of people would rate Hotel California as their best, but I like the purity and the whole theme of Desperado better. Did you know that, in effect, Hotel California was a song that basically ended the band? They all felt like, after that song, they could never write or perform anything better. They just didn't feel they could live up to that song and decided that it meant it was time to quit. I guess we all feel like that about different things in our lives at different times. While that song was probably their greatest commercial success, I would vote for The Last Resort as my favorite song on the Hotel California album. It just captured a certain emotion and sense of longing that I could identify with. I hope those guys all enjoyed their lives during that time and recognized that when they were at their peak, it was the greatest time of their lives. I hope they realized life and fame come and go very quickly in the overall scheme of things. At that time, they were gods among men and imprinted on several generations of listeners and fans. So this random thought is dedicated to the Eagles and all that they were, as well as the longevity of their music, which is still relevant today. I will always be a fan, and I will always picture them as they were on the cover of Take It to the Limit. This has been Tommy's Random Thought.